The book of Revelation is a book of new things. There's a new name, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth. And here in chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, a new song. Jesus brings into life a quality which has never existed before. He brings into life a new joy, a new thrill, a new strength, a new peace. Some have searched for the fountain of youth. We have found something better, a life that never grows old. God is always bringing to his children something new. In the new song sung by the great assembly of the redeemed in heaven, there summed up the results for us of the death of our Savior. His death was a sacrificial death. It wasn't an accident of history. It wasn't a mistake. You and I were born to live, not Jesus. He was born to die. Why? For sins. His sins? Oh no, he had no sins. He was born to die for your sins and mine. The object of his sacrifice is to restore the lost relationship between God and man. That's why Jesus died. His death was a setting of liberty. He gave his life as a ransom for many. It cost him his life to rescue us from Satan and sin. What's the effect? Let's look at verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. First, he made us kings. He opened to us the royalty of sonship of God. Two, he made us priests. In the Old Testament, only the priest had the right to approach God. An ordinary man couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Now every man becomes a priest in that he has access to God. He made us to triumph. We shall reign. When we think of this, it's no wonder that the living creatures and the elders burst forth into praise. Now, look at the sevenfold doxology. Listen to it as we read verses 11 to 14. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. To our Lord belongs power. He's not the one who plans but never performs. He's not the one who dreams but never does. To him belongs power. To him belong riches. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. But there's no promise that he has made that he doesn't possess the resources to carry out. There's no claim that he can't satisfy. He can answer every prayer. He can meet every need. Oftentimes, I've heard my earthly father say to me, "Michael, I'd like to give you this, but I can't." I've never heard my heavenly father say, "Michael, I'd like to give you this, but I can't afford it." Oh, he owns all the wealth of all the world. To him belongs wisdom. He's never frustrated. We often say, "Oh, I don't know what to do." He never says that. He always knows what to do, and he does it. He's never at a loss for wisdom. To him belongs strength. Satan is strong, but our Savior is stronger. There's no situation he can't cope with and triumph over. His strength is able to overcome all trials, all troubles, all tribulations, all people, all places, and all problems. To him belongs honor. Today he's honored in heaven, but he's dishonored on earth. But the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Even those in hell will be forced to bow the knees, but that won't save them. This is seen in verse 13. To him belongs glory. We beheld his glory, said John in his gospel. Glory is that which by right belongs to God and God alone. To say that glory belongs to him is to say that he is God. To him belongs the blessing. To bless means to make happy. Is he happy with you and me? Someday he will be. But today, let's say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And let's make him happy every day by blessing him with our lips and with our lives and by living worthy of him. At the conclusion of the doxology, the four living creatures said, "Amen." The voice of praise dies down. These mightiest agents of the execution of God's will announce, "When the praise is ascribed to the Lord, so shall it be." Then there's a silence. And then we go to chapter 6. We'll study it in our next lesson, and we'll see the most awful, the most devastating scenes of judgment. There's no song, only sobbing. For you and for me, there'll be the bliss of heaven or the blight of hell, the flowers of heaven or the fires of hell, the gladness of heaven or the grief of hell, the thrills of heaven or the tears of hell, the wonders of heaven or the woes of hell, the singing of heaven or the sobbing of hell. Which will it be for you? You will come to Jesus now, won't you? And receive him as your Savior, saying to him, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me." And he will come in.